first inflation numbers are still on the high side, according to the latest federal numbers. And that has the Federal Reserve looking to slow down inflation growth in part by raising interest rates. Just one problem in some of the recessions over the last 60 years or so, one contributing factor may have been interest rate increases that were made in part to fix inflation. The economy is also in a weird place. It's still lagging because of the pandemic, supply chains still messed up, and the war in Ukraine, something economists couldn't have anticipated, has increased food and energy prices. So could anti-inflation efforts put us at risk of a recession? You can join in at 800-642-1234. How has inflation affected your finances over the last few months? Have you had to cut back on, say, driving because of high gas prices, or cut back on, you name it, whatever item you're seeing the price go up on? Call 800-642-1234 with your experiences, your questions. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Tara Sinclair is a professor of economics and international affairs at George Washington University. Tara, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's great to be here.
Well, I want to do a little 101 here. We always hear the Federal Reserve, when there's inflation, one of their tools is they raise interest rates, and that's supposed to slow down inflation. Can you connect the dots between those two things for us?
Sure. Well, I think a lot of people are already seeing those dots connected. When interest rates rise, the cost of borrowing goes up, and therefore mortgage rates are higher, auto loans are higher, credit card rates are higher, and that gets us to cut back on our spending. And when we cut back on the spending, then there's less money chasing the same amount of goods. So that slows the temperature of prices.
Is that something that people expect to work this time around, or are all those special circumstances I just listed, pandemic, war, supply chain, does that make this a whole different animal?
Well, it definitely makes it tricky, but it's still the case that the Federal Reserve has a lot of power and can raise interest rates enough that it will slow down our spending at some point. And the question is, how quickly they will do that, and at how much of an economic cost do we have to bear in order to bring inflation under control?
And there's that the cost, the risk of doing this. Seen a couple articles lately saying, hang on, when the Fed does this, raises interest rates to combat inflation, recessions follow. Maybe that caused the recessions. How big a risk is that?
That's a real risk, and that's something that a lot of different organizations are already starting to keep an eye on. And in fact, the Federal Reserve Chair, Jay Powell, has even pointed out that this is something that has been a concern in the past, and the Fed is really trying to be careful this time and bring, you know, a smooth landing to the economy. But they don't have a great track record, that's for sure. And so it's definitely a concern. And one of the things that I've been thinking about recently is, with all the turbulence in the economy going on, the Fed is trying to engineer this smooth landing, but the runway is really moving around a lot.
There's been some criticism of the Fed for not doing this sooner. The idea being, I guess, if they'd done it over a longer period of time, raising interest rates, done it over a longer period of time, done it more gradually, that would have smoothed that runway a little bit. Is there something to that?
Well, they were facing a lot of different complicating pieces of information. I think if they had known how long the pandemic was going to last and how consumers were going to respond to all the different aspects of the pandemic, I think maybe they would have done policy slightly differently. But I think we all would have done things differently if we had known what 2021 and even into 2022 were going to look like. It's really hard to know in advance, which is what they have to do in order to make policy.
We're talking to Tara Sinclair, professor of economics and international affairs at George Washington University, looking at rising inflation, what the Federal Reserve can do about it, interest rates, the risk of a recession. You can join in with your questions, your concerns at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Steve is with us in Chippewa Falls. Steve, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I'm wondering about what we did in 1982 when they raised the federal funds rate to 20%. Mm-hmm. And there was only $1 trillion in national debt, but now we have $29 trillion in national debt, and we have to continue to borrow and service that debt. What if they did that again? What if they tried to beat inflation by raising interest rates? Would it blow the federal budget? Would the cost of servicing our debt go through the roof? And so are we between a rock and a hard place that we've never been before?
Steve, thanks a lot for the call. Yeah, people have pointed toward maybe the deficit isn't such a big deal and the debt that he was talking about because interest rates are so low. Is he right to be concerned if interest rates go up that debt becomes a bigger issue?
Yeah, Steve brings up a great point that we do have to be concerned as taxpayers about what the rising interest rates mean for our tax bills, because we do have a very large debt and servicing that debt is one of the things that our tax dollars goes to. So the really interesting thing here is I don't think we need to worry about interest rates going up anywhere near as high as what we saw in the 1980s. The Federal Reserve is saying that they think that the neutral interest rate is somewhere, maybe they'll hit 2.5%. But still, that's going to be an increase in the cost to servicing our debt. I don't think we're going to be put in a position where we're really going to question these economic choices. But it's definitely going to be a bigger bill.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Yeah, Tara, when I look at charts of interest rates over the last five decades or so, the thing that's really striking is how low they've been for the last bunch of years, especially starting in the Great Recession. Have they been too low, if there's such a thing?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of debate amongst economists on this one. There's definitely the camp that sees that interest rates have been too low for too long and that we would have been better off with normalizing interest rates much sooner. But there's also the camp that says that we needed to keep interest rates low in order to get to as healthy economy as we have now, and that we wouldn't be seeing the 3.6% unemployment that we're seeing right now without those super low interest rates.
We're talking to Tara Sinclair, professor of economics and international affairs at George Washington University, about anti-inflation efforts, whether they could risk causing a recession. We'll talk a little more about what recession is, what it means, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you remember about the most recent economic recession? How did the Great Recession of, what's that been now, 12 plus years ago, how did that affect you? Are you worried about it happening again? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org with your thoughts, your questions. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with George Washington University economics professor Tara Sinclair about the relationship between inflation, efforts to reduce inflation, and the risk of recessions. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you feeling the effects of inflation directly in your life right now? What questions do you have about how to bring inflation down, how all this works? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. David is with us in Madison. David, hi.
Hi. Yeah, my question is, the government pumped a lot of stimulus checks out directly to consumers. I'm wondering if there's a history of that ever happening and how that affected inflation with our economy.
David, thanks for the call. A question I think on a lot of people's minds, Tara.
Yeah, thanks, David. So we have in general responded to past economic crises with some sort of stimulative policy from Congress. That's something that Congress members want to show their voters, that they are taking action when the economy is in crisis. But it is true that the spending in response to the pandemic was unprecedented. And so, of course, at the same time, the economic risks were also unprecedented. So the question is, which one was bigger and what did they know and when in terms of being able to make this policy? And I think a lot of economists looking back at the spending that was done find that perhaps that was too much spending and that might be contributing to some of the higher inflation that we're seeing today. But at the same time, it was very hard in the moment as policymakers were putting these packages together to figure out exactly the right size. And one of the lessons that we learned from the global financial crisis and the Great Recession was that it was possible to have a very slow economic recovery out of a deep recession. And it was very clear to policymakers that they didn't want to make that same mistake again. And so maybe they went the other way this time and went on a bit strong.
David, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Tara, let's get back to our Economics 101 here a little bit. I think we all get the sense that recession equals bad when it comes to economy. Can you get a little more technical for us there?
Absolutely. I think one of the key things that is different about the way economists talk about recessions versus the way I think the everyday person talks about a recession. I think every day we just say a recession, we think the economy's bad. But economists think much more specifically about a recession happening between when the economy peaks and then when the economy bottoms out. And so we were out of the recession from the COVID crisis in April of 2020. We only had a recession for 2 months of 2020. But of course, the economy was still quite in rough shape. After that, it was at its worst in April of 2020 and then was climbing up from there. And so we've now called that time, we've been in recovery. But I think most people would have said we were in a recession through all of 2020. I still hear a lot of people say that they see even now that we are still in an economic recession, even though that's not officially the way it's defined.
Right. Even if we're not in a recession, it can take a while, as you were saying, to recover, including things like job numbers that went really, really slowly after the Great Recession. How did things compare after the brief recession following the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. The recession was incredibly brief, but also incredibly deep. And yet we saw a very fast recovery out of it. We were originally expecting, economists pretty much across the board, we're expecting it to take quite a while for us to get back within spitting distance of the unemployment rate we had seen in 2019. But we're already there. 3.6% unemployment is right about the point where we were in 2019. And so from that perspective, the economy looks like it's recovered a lot. But on the jobs perspective, so if we look at the flip side of that, we look at how many people are employed today, there's still some room for getting back to the trend that we would have been on without the COVID hitting our economy.
We focus a lot on inflation in the media. I think in the public, it's understandable. There's also a lot of, at least what looks like good news, as you're saying, unemployment getting lower, job growth seeming to get back on track, a lot of demand. That's part of why we have inflation, a lot of consumer demand. How do you sort out the good news, bad news, and the yeah, but side of the story?
Right. Well, I mean, we all dream of that Goldilocks economy that is, just right in temperature to where we see that the jobs numbers are good, but so are the inflation numbers. But that's a very, very fine tightrope for policymakers to walk. And at the moment, their focus is definitely on the inflation side. And that's something that's really hurting a lot of people and families. And so that's something that I think we do need to focus on right now. Although we also want to keep in mind that things could have been bad in other dimensions if we hadn't had the type of policy response that we did during the pandemic, people could have suffered a lot more during that part of the economy.
Now, there's one of the wild cards I want to focus on a little bit here, something that the Federal Reserve can't really touch, and that's the supply chain part of things, where for a variety of reasons, from a shutdown in Shanghai to pent-up consumer demand to slowdowns in production because of the pandemic originally, how big a factor is the supply chain issue in something like our current inflation?
Yeah, I see that the supply chain issue is a big part of it. That's something that is impacting certain sectors, and we're definitely seeing that in terms of the prices in those sectors. But it also spills over to other areas as well, because if you are fighting hard to be able to get just one part to go into the cars, then that also affects the entire production of the cars, which then spills over to the production of other types of goods. So you can imagine that this can have a really big impact. And this could also mean that the Federal Reserve actually has to slow down the economy even more. Since they don't have the ability to impact those prices, they have to affect demand for other goods and services in order to bring those prices down even more, in order to have an overall average inflation rate that fits their target.
Looking over this next year now, what kind of things are you looking for from the Federal Reserve when it comes to how they nudge up this interest rate?
Right. Well, the big discussion is, are they going to do a larger rate hike in May? They're definitely going to do a rate hike in May. The question is, how big will that rate hike be? And there seems to be a lot of signals that it's going to be twice as big as the rate hike that they did in March. They're talking about doing half a percentage point or 50 basis points, as they describe it, in May, and then maybe again in June. And so really the question is, how much do they raise rates over the rest of the year and how quickly?
And as we've seen over the years, there can be political pressure on the Federal Reserve. A sitting president in any kind of election year, for example, doesn't necessarily want to see those rates go up really quick. How much is the Federal Reserve subject to that kind of federal the political pressure, whether it's a President Trump or a President Biden?
Yeah, so this is a really interesting political time, because right now we would typically think that there'd be pressure for the Fed to keep interest rates low for all sorts of reasons. But because people are so upset about inflation and it's so high at the moment, there actually seems to be more pressure for the Fed to raise rates more quickly than we would think, particularly in an election year.
Tara, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Tara Sinclair, professor of economics and international affairs at George Washington University. She talked to us today about the Federal Reserve, interest rates, inflation, and the risk of recessions.